What if the greatest threat to your freedom isn't foreign terrorists or street criminals, but the very institution created to protect you? This provocative question forms the foundation of For a New Liberty, a work that transformed political philosophy by presenting the most comprehensive case against government power ever assembled. Since its 1973 publication, this once fringe manifesto has steadily gained influence as government expansion has confirmed many of its predictions. With federal debt approaching $34 trillion and regulations touching every aspect of American life, the warnings about unchecked state power feel increasingly relevant to readers across the political spectrum. The book's central premise is startlingly simple yet revolutionary. The state deserves no moral exemption for actions we would condemn if committed by individuals. War is mass murder. Conscription is slavery. Taxation is robbery. By applying consistent ethical standards to government actions, we're forced to confront uncomfortable questions about institutions we've long taken for granted. What makes this perspective so powerful is that it transcends traditional political categories, combining what many would consider leftist positions on civil liberties with rightist views on economics into a coherent whole. The American experiment began as a radical libertarian revolution against British imperial control. The revolutionaries rejected taxation without representation, royal monopolies, standing armies, and unchecked executive power, establishing a government with unprecedented restrictions on state authority. Early Americans consistently embraced this vision. Jeffersonians advocated minimal government against Hamilton's centralizing tendencies, while Jacksonians opposed standing armies, fought direct taxation, and dismantled the second bank. H.L. Mencken described their ideal as a government that barely escapes being no government at all. This libertarian tradition faced challenges from elites who benefited from state power. Liberalism weakened after achieving victories in areas like free trade, with the final blow coming when classical liberals abandoned opposition to war and empire, allowing progressives and conservatives to reshape politics around an expanding state. Libertarian philosophy centers on one axiom: no person or group may initiate aggression against another's person or property. This principle stems from self-ownership. If you don't own yourself, the alternatives are either slavery or communal ownership. From self-ownership, property rights naturally emerge. Humans must interact with the physical world to survive. By mixing our labor with unowned resources, we create legitimate property. As John Locke wrote, "As much land as a man tills, plants, improves, cultivates, and can use the product of, so much is his property." Throughout history, the state has been the primary source of violence and coercion. Two crucial distinctions separate government from other institutions. Only government obtains income through force rather than voluntary exchange, and only government can legally use violence against peaceful citizens. The state maintains power through alliance with intellectuals. Most people passively accept ideas from opinion molders, while the state needs intellectuals to legitimize rulers as wise and inevitable. In return, intellectuals receive power, status, and security as part of the ruling elite through positions in universities, think tanks, and government agencies. Mainstream intellectuals rarely question the state's existence, focusing instead on policy debates. The state maintains control by portraying its rule as inevitable, discouraging conspiracy theories that might attribute responsibility to specific rulers, instilling fear of alternatives, and using nationalism to transform ruler conflicts into wars between peoples. Separating human rights from property rights is fundamentally flawed. Without property rights, human rights become meaningless abstractions. How can you exercise free speech if government owns all assembly halls, or practice religious freedom if the state controls all houses of worship? Individual rights remain absolute, but are properly understood as property rights in their fullest sense. The libertarian commitment to personal freedom opposes all involuntary servitude. Military conscription represents the most blatant example. Young men forced to potentially kill or risk their lives. Taxation itself constitutes another form of forced labor, with income tax effectively requiring citizens to work for the government without compensation. Freedom of speech must be understood within property rights. Falsely shouting fire in a crowded theater violates the property rights of the theater owner and patrons. Beyond such property invasions, speech should remain protected from government interference. This property rights framework clarifies difficult issues. With pornography, both conservative condemnation and liberal defense miss the crucial point. Outlawing it violates property rights. Similarly, drug prohibition creates more problems than it solves, with addiction-related crimes occurring because prohibition drives prices artificially high, leading addicts to theft. Imagine if government controlled all publications with mandatory subscriptions. We'd recognize this as totalitarian. Yet we accept this same system for education, with public schools and compulsory attendance laws functioning essentially as a prison for youth. From America's beginnings, public schooling aimed to control the population. Massachusetts established public schools primarily to suppress religious dissent, while throughout history, compulsory education has been used to force minorities and colonized peoples to abandon their languages and cultures. Public schooling inherently requires uniformity, with government bureaucracies establishing rules regardless of individual needs. A private education market would allow diverse schools to emerge, meeting varied parental demands similar to free media markets. The welfare state often harms the poor while benefiting the wealthy and well-connected. When welfare payments exceed wages, people rationally choose welfare over work. From 1952 to 1970, monthly welfare benefits doubled while consumer prices rose only 50%. Cultural values, not income levels, determine welfare dependency. Albanian Americans in New York had no one on welfare because Albanians do not beg, and to Albanians, taking welfare is like begging. Similarly, the poor Polish-American community in Brooklyn had virtually no welfare recipients, considering it an insult. The libertarian solution to poverty is straightforward. Government should get out of the way. Four key steps would help. Reduce taxation that cripples productive energies. Cut government expenditures proportionally. Stop taxing the poor to subsidize the wealthy through higher education, farm subsidies, and bailouts. And remove barriers like minimum wage and licensing laws that prevent the poor from becoming productive. Liberty isn't just morally right, it's practically inevitable. Freedom will ultimately win because only it aligns with human nature and enables prosperity. The Industrial Revolution created conditions requiring freedom, as industrial economies cannot function under comprehensive state control. We've now entered the long run that early libertarians foresaw. The wealth cushion created by 19th-century free markets has been depleted, and government interventions now produce immediate negative consequences. Communist countries have retreated from central planning, Western nations face fiscal crises, and America has experienced economic turbulence since the 1970s. The libertarian vision fulfills America's heritage while promising a better future. We are the true heirs of Jefferson, Paine, and the abolitionists, more traditionally American than conservatives, yet more transformative than the left. Only libertarianism rejects all aspects of the modern state, its welfare and warfare, monopoly privileges, and egalitarianism, and laws against victimless crimes affecting both personal and economic freedom. Imagine a world where you truly own yourself, where your life, liberty, and property aren't subject to politicians' whims. That world isn't just possible. If we stay true to our principles, it's inevitable.